Good morning. Welcome. I would encourage you to take your Bible, whether in printed or digital form, and open to Genesis chapter 46. We're going to look at this message in my series, Learning from the Classics, which are a group of favorite Old Testament passages. In this one, I've entitled it, Faith in the Enemy's Camp. Genesis 46, verses 1 to 34. John chapter 17 and verse 15 reads, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. And verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. It is impossible for Christians to live and thrive in the world among unbelievers. Or is it? Is it possible for Christians to live and thrive in the world among unbelievers? Some groups, well, like the Amish, believe you must separate and go live in a Christian community of some sort. Yes, believers can live and thrive in the world. In fact, the world is the incubator of spiritual growth. It is the playing field of Christianity. It's easy to be a Christian in a monastery, but we can be safe in the enemy's camp. And why is that? Because, well, look at 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, the second part of it, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. To live Christ-like in this world, three things are necessary. And I'd like you, if you haven't already, turn to Genesis 46. This chapter in Genesis is the record of Jacob entering Egypt. The Old Testament is full of types and antitypes. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Joseph is a type of Christ. And Israel is a type of the church. First, listen, three things that are necessary in order to live Christ-like in this world. First, you must have a relationship with the Lord. Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And so he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go up down to Egypt, to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. An intimate love relationship with the Lord. Jacob left for Egypt based on circumstances to survive the famine and to see his son. Do you know there's no mention of him seeking God before he left? On the way, Jacob stopped to offer sacrifices at the same place Abraham and Isaac had sacrificed at Beersheba. The reference is in Genesis verses 21 to 33, and 26, 25, he probably expressed concern in prayer about going to Egypt. And what was God's response? Well, he identified himself as God. Revelation, in verse 3. He said, don't fear to go to Egypt. He gave him reassurance, also in verse 3. He renewed the promise. Renewal, also, verse 3. God will be with you there. His presence. Verse 4. Also in verse 4, a promise to bring him out, deliverance. And then also in verse 4, comfort that Joseph will minister to him. When we seek God, he responds to us. This is the same God who calls us into ministry. And his promises are still valid for us today as Christians, as his servants. So, first, you must have a relationship with the Lord in order to serve Jesus Christ in this world and to live Christ-like in this world. Second, you must have a dependence on the Lord. Look at verses 5 down to verse 27. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters and his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons, who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jakin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puvah, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jaliel. These were the sons of Leah, who she bore to Jacob in Paddan Aram with his daughter Dinah. All the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Ziphion, Haggai, Shunai, Ezbon, Eri, Eradi, and Ereli. The sons of Asher were Jimnah, Ishua, Ishui, Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah were Heber and Malkiel. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin, and to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Bechar, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppin, Huppin, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan was Hushim. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Guni, Jezir, and Shillem. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Jacob, to Rachel his daughter, and she bore these to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. Jacob went on with confidence. God is in control. Notice that Jacob is leaving the promised land. He would have passed the promise to his sons right there in Canaan. But God determines the pilgrimage. God's the one who determines the pilgrimage. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We must always be ready to change direction. Jacob did it. He did it at age 130. Ready to die. Israel was not a nation yet. It was 200 years since the promise and only 70 people. Genesis 46 and verse 27. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were two persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went into Egypt were 70. Have patience waiting for God to act. Israel grew mighty in Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. Notice the promise of Isaiah in chapter 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. A nation of 70 people would not survive a worldwide famine. So God took an embryo of a nation and planted it in the surrogate womb of Egypt. In the safety of Goshen, that tiny people of God grew mighty and strong. At the appropriate moment, slavery caused the labor pains to begin. Too big for her womb, the Lord delivered the nation of Israel. A nation of between 1.5 and 3 million people came out having survived and thrived in Egypt. And God protected Jesus from King Herod there as well. God's people can thrive right in the middle of the world because of Him, because of His protection. If Christians are to thrive in an ungodly environment, they must have an intimate relationship with God. They must have a confident dependence on God. And then third, you must have a commitment for the Lord. Verse 28 down to verse 34. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." And then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Egypt have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock. And they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now." Both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. The result of the relationship, firmly established. They experienced the power of forgiveness. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. It was Judah's idea to sell Joseph. It was Judah willing to save Benjamin by offering himself instead. After forgiveness and restoration, it was Judah who became leader of Jacob's clan. The cleansing of repentance. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They were encouraged to stand firm in their calling. Remain shepherds in the face of hatred and ridicule. Israel was able to separate in Egypt, protect from the idols of the land. Goshen was probably not very inhabited, but the best land of the country was there. Israel had very little contact with the Egyptians and their ways. It was God's safety in the enemy's camp. Psalm 91, verse 1 through 4. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. As a Christian, if you are to thrive in an ungodly environment, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a confident dependence on the Lord, and a firm commitment to serve Him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we can serve you and we can thrive in this world as your servants. We can live Christ-like in this world in spite of everything that goes on. And Lord, we need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be dependent upon you, and we need to be committed. Father, I just pray that everyone watching or listening to this message, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would give them conviction for this relationship and commitment, and to depend on you. And Father, that you would give the grace to be obedient. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory for what you accomplish. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.